When I was a kid, I remember going to one of our neighboring farms because there was a small cave on that farm, and we had a lot of fun kind of looking into it and then getting into it a little bit. And so I've always had kind of a fascination with caves, and I think my two guests today probably have that same, well, more of a fascination even than I have. And maybe you have a fascination about caves as well. Well, here's your chance to ask some questions and find out more. Dave Hart of the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey, expert on caves, also on sinkholes
too,
and what are called karsts.
What's called karst geology.
Karst geology.
Yeah.
Karst
yep.
geology. Well, we'll find out about that as we visit with Dave. And also, Joe Klimchek is general manager of Cave of the Mounds.
Hi, Larry. Yeah, for me, it's more of an obsession, obviously, than caves are. So.
Well, I'm really glad to have you guys both here. Certainly, if you have some questions as we move along today and talk to our guests, I welcome you to join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us, and the email address is talk@wpr.org. And Dave, I guess when it comes to caves, Wisconsin, well, we're not Kentucky or Missouri or maybe Tennessee.
No, we don't have a mammoth cave with 300-plus miles of passages, but we do have some real gems here in Wisconsin, and there are several caves we can talk about. There's Cave of the Mounds, Crystal Caves, and Kickapoo Indian Caves as well that make the list.
And so. I think whenever I think of a cave here in Wisconsin, the first one that comes to mind is Cave of the Mounds. It's a wonderful place.
Right in your backyard.
Describe that for those who aren't familiar with it.
Cave of the Mounds is a national natural landmark. It's a natural limestone cave that began forming a couple million years ago, and it had been completely sealed to the outside world for the vast majority of that history. It was only 70 years ago, in 1939, that the cave was first opened to the outside world. It was discovered accidentally in a quarry blast. It was a limestone quarry on the old Brigham Farm, and it was quarry workers on August 4th, 1939, were doing a routine quarry blast. They were going to make gravel for the local roads, and accidentally blew up about a 40-foot section of the ceiling of the cave, and were astonished to see that that here below their feet all these years was this amazing cavern. So it's the tour is about 2/3 of a mile. You go through most of that cave. It's on a couple different levels, about 40 feet below the ground. And it's it varies from having a ceiling of about 30 feet high by 30 feet wide and 300 feet long is the entry room that you go into. And then there's some smaller passage that kind of twist and turn, so you really get a kind of a wide variety of that cave experience.
It is a very cool place to visit. I can tell you that. Having been there a number of times myself, I really, really enjoy the experience. Why does a cave, or how does a cave actually form, Dave?
Right, right. Well, you need the right conditions. And basically what you need are the right kinds of rocks and water. And so here in Wisconsin, we have lots of rock called dolomite. And if you put water on that rock, it will eventually dissolve the rock and form what we call karst and dissolve the rock away. Natural fractures become enlarged. You end up with voids and conduits. And if you move enough water for a long enough time, you can end up with a cave. Like Cave of the Mounds.
Something
there
like
too.
Cave of the Mounds.
Yeah, and so we've got lots of karst here in Wisconsin, lots of karst geology, lots of small conduits, small fractures. If you go, we've got a website, WisconsinGeologicalSurvey.org, that you can go to and kind of get a flavor for all the different kinds of karst things that you can see, sinkholes, some of these fractures, pavement where you can see the fractures on the surface as well too. All of these things are kind of related to caves and are part of the general geology.
Yeah, Joe, you were going to add something there.
Well, we have a lot of students come on school field trips, so I'm used to putting it in terms, especially being in Wisconsin, that the karst geology, the karst is sort of like Swiss cheese. We think about that limestone rock and the dolomite that's been eroded either with a chemical erosion, with natural acids in the groundwater, and then the mechanical erosion, that flowing water that gradually makes these little holes in the Swiss cheese rock bigger and bigger and bigger. And as eventually you get a big enough hole, you know, a couple of those little holes combine, the long, slow process of geologic change, eventually you wind up in some places with a place like Cave of the Mounds, which is a really large cave. The thing we've got out in some parts of Wisconsin are those lead deposits. And part of the story that we tell is that along with those lead deposits, there's some sulfur, and you wind up with sulfuric acid. And you know, there's the natural carbonic acid from rainwater mixing with the soil, and that does some chemical erosion. But those the sulfuric acid from the lead deposits, we suspect that it's that kind of more drastic acid that really helps to enlarge a cave as big as Cave of the Mounds.
Right, and they've Carlsbad Caverns is a result of the sulfuric acid. It's just a lot more aggressive acid than the carbonic acid that you get from the atmosphere.
Well, let's take some calls. Ben in Menominee will give you a chance here. Hi, Ben. Thank you for calling.
Hi, how are you? I had a question. Between the using up of the Milwaukee Aquifer and then the Deep Tunnel Project, I've heard talk about a large sinkhole opening up underneath Milwaukee. I was just wondering about how accurate that is.
That's not really going to happen. You don't often hear geologists say something absolutely won't happen, but that's really unlikely. I think Milwaukee does occasionally get some large sinkholes, but I think those are more commonly due to water main breaks. I think last February there was a water main break and like a 20 or 30 foot across sinkhole formed in Milwaukee. But that's the kind of thing you're going to see, not something that's going to swallow half the city because of the deep tunnel. They did a lot of geotechnical engineering on that, and we're not Florida. The rock we have here in Wisconsin is dolomite. It doesn't dissolve as easily as the limestones that they have down in Florida. So we don't have we have smaller conduits and voids, and we don't just see as much dissolution in the rocks here.
All right. Thanks for
sharing that out.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. You hear the term Badger Cave. What's a Badger Cave, and how did the early miners in Wisconsin know where to dig?
You know, the southwestern Wisconsin was home to the lead zinc district, where lots of the early miners and even the Indians mined lead. And what they would do is they would find probably these zones that were kind of soft and easy to dig in, and they associated those with the galena ore that you could dig out of the ground. And because it was an easy place to dig, when this ore was deposited, it generally followed cracks and fractures. And when the ore was deposited, it would also become weathered away and easier to dig there as well, too. You can see some of these zones if you take Highway 151 and around the Mineral Point Zone. You'll see some really dark reddish kind of weathered soil. Mm-hmm. And the road cut, you'll see the nice competent dolomite, and then you'll see the reddish soil. And that would be where those guys would have dug. It's easy, and that's where the ore would be as well, too.
Interesting. Well, we'll take some more calls. Again, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. Let's go to Leslie in Preston, Minnesota next. Leslie, hi to you.
Hi. I'm actually between Preston and Fountain, Minnesota. And Fountain, I believe, is the sinkhole capital of the world. Are you familiar with Fountain? Fountain, Minnesota.
I know the geology is very similar to what's in Wisconsin across the river, so it doesn't surprise me that you have lots of sinkholes.
Okay, well, I have a question. On our farm, I wonder about this. We have an artesian well, and it flows it'll fill up a 5-gallon bucket in 11 seconds, so it's going pretty good. And there's a spot in our yard where every couple of years we can dump a dump truck full of fill, and then eventually it starts sinking down again.
Yeah.
So how do you know what's under there?
Well,
I mean, are we going to fall in the lawnmower someday?
I mean, it's good. What's under there is karst karst geology, there's all sorts of conduits and maybe caves, but there's all sorts of voids down there that's moving that sediment kind of through the system, kind of down, and it's just going to keep moving it through. And that's what's happening when you fill up that void, is it just kind of keeps filling up the karst voids down there. So if you go to our webpage, WisconsinGeologicalSurvey.org, you can actually follow it through and see what to do if you have sinkholes. I think in your case, you may want to try what we call reverse grading, which is you put really big rocks and cobbles in the bottom. Then you gradually go to finer materials. And then the other thing, you know, remember, these things form because there's water washing the material downward into the karst. So if you can control your water flow, the surface water, you might slow this down. But well, but it's no guarantee.
The artesian well isn't flowing there anymore. That's been diverted since we've been there, so there isn't any water that I know of other than what's already underneath there. But it's not an actual sinkhole there. It's just where we mow, and it just keeps falling in.
We might call that a cover subsidence sinkhole. So the soil's still kind of dropping out. It just doesn't drop out all at once.
Okay.
And surprise you.
So you won't suddenly disappear while you're...
No, probably not with that one.
So just I'm not going to buy a bigger mower just in case, though.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Leslie, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call.
We've got a sinkhole on the Cave of the Mounds property that we call Oscar's sinkhole because he was Oscar was one of the groundspeople a number of years ago, 20-some years ago, and he was cutting one of the hay fields, cutting down the thistles, and the front end of the tractor just dropped right into the front. So he discovered this, this sinkhole as a result because it was one of these where the ground had been subsiding and the turf was sort of supporting itself eventually until it finally gave way.
Until Oscar came along with his tractor. Oh, boy, we're talking caves and sinkholes and karst here in Wisconsin with our two guests, Dave Hart and Joe Klimczak. Stay with us. Lots in store here, and we'll continue our discussion about the caves of Wisconsin on the Ideas Network. Taking a look at the caves of Wisconsin today with Dave Hart of the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey, an expert on caves, sinkholes, and karsts in Wisconsin. Joe Klimczak is general manager of Cave of the Mounds. It's a national natural landmark located in southern Wisconsin in the Blue Mounds area. And we're really pleased to have both of our guests with us today to talk about caves. Something for you to do maybe in this summertime is take a look at a place like Cave of the Mounds or Crystal Caves or some of the other caves that exist around the state. Dylan in Spring Green has a question or comment, so I want to go to Dylan right away. Dylan, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm a little bit off topic, but there was an interesting piece of cave fiction written a while back about a man who had discovered a small portion to a cave that was unexplored, and after he got through it, he had quite a harrowing experience. And someone a few years ago actually started a web page about it, and it's built very much like this is their own adventure, and there are plenty of pictures and... As they're going through the cave, they show how they excavate it and everything. And it has a very scary ending. And at first I didn't realize it was a fictional story and a fictional website because it's made very much like it's real. And if I remember, it's called Nick's Caving Page. It'd be an interesting experience for people if they want to check it out.
Oh, Nick's Caving Page. All right.
Sure.
You know what? I bet you Dave and Joe, you guys will probably check it out.
Well, I will, and Dylan brings up a good point that people do need to be careful when they, if it's a little cave off in the woods that they find, you certainly need to be careful. Our caves in Wisconsin are usually pretty small and pretty accessible, but one does need to be cautious that somebody knows if they are going to explore a cave that they've got the proper lighting, proper equipment, somebody knows where they are. It's not the kind of thing you just want to be crawling into a little hole in the ground. Not that you'll necessarily meet a bear hibernating once you're inside there, but some of them do have drop-offs, or you could wind up going in one way where you get stuck and have a little difficulty getting out. That's one thing about Cave of the Mounds, where you're on walkways and handrails paved the whole way. You can have this easily accessible experience where you can kind of just about anybody can enjoy that underground adventure, sort of soft adventure, without really being in peril. Because his point is well taken. I talk to people fairly often that say, "Wow, I was in a cave one time and I had some trouble getting out," and it can happen.
Yeah. They're nothing to take lightly, too. And if you do want to get a little bit more adventurous, contact the Wisconsin Speleological Society. They've got a webpage. There's groups. They'll train you how to do caving. And it seems like a lot of fun. I read their newsletter quite regularly, and they have some pretty good adventures, too. So.
Well, Don and Warren, I think, has a comment that relates to this in a way. Let's go to Don. Hi, Don.
Hi. My son is a pretty serious caver. He is a life member of the National, and for the last 25 years, he's been spending one or two weekends a month caving locally. He paid his dues, and he got to go in Lechuguilla four times. The third time was on a scientific expedition, and he was carrying these huge batteries for their lights for their videos. And what they were trying to determine is, contrary to what you said earlier about two methods of forming caves, it must be a third method condition, because Lechuguilla was a sealed cave and there is no water flowing, and it was they have no idea unless there is bacterial action causing gases and other forms, but not by dilution or solution. And some of the formations in there, and he was, you know, the cave is now closed. Nobody else will ever get in it except for very scientific forms. But there is that third method of forming a cave, and not around here mostly.
Well, your son was very fortunate to be in Lechuguilla. That is just among the most amazing places on Earth, I think. You know, just from the photos I've seen, I've never been anywhere close to being in Lechuguilla other than Carlsbad Caverns, which is right down in that same neighborhood. And from what I understand, the natural gas deposits below, again, are one of the sources for that sulfuric acid, which would be percolating up and causing that large void there. And the thing for us to remember is that although that area is a desert right now, over the course of the long geologic history, not our human history, but long geologic time, there's been great changes in different areas. Here in Wisconsin, this used to be a warm, shallow sea 400 million years ago, and the water table has gone up and down many times since then, not to mention the glacial epoch. So the conditions that exist right now as far as the water aren't the ones that have always been there.
I was trying to remember in National Geographic magazine a couple of 3-4 months back had some almost unreal pictures from a cave that looked like the rock looked like prisms almost.
That was a selenite cave, a gypsum cave in Mexico, and amazing big spars of this gypsum crystal, the same as, you know, same kind of crystal that the drywall is made out of, but a very pure form of it, the selenite crystals.
Those are some of the most amazing pictures I think I'd ever seen. It was just absolutely beautiful.
And if you didn't have the people in there for scale, you would think some of these spars were maybe as big as your finger. But instead, some of them were 30, 40 feet long, just giant spars of crystal.
Just absolutely gorgeous. Don, thanks again. Donald in Madison, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Donald. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I appreciate the show. I never heard of a karst until a few months ago when my wife, who has her master's, who just recently got her master's in geology, got hooked up with some people in Crawford and Vernon County concerning the groundwater problems, the potential problems of these huge farms that are trying to be put together by some Illinois people. You may or may not be familiar with that, but there's a map that she was selling at the Kickapoo Country Fair last weekend. It's a fabulous color map showing the underground, like a slice of the underground, where the karst are and why the water table is, it will be affected by these manure producing farms. And I don't know if your two gentlemen there are aware of this map, but what I could do, I'm driving in my car, but what I could do is email all the stuff about the map, and you could put it on your website. Because it's a fundraiser for the nonprofit group taking care of the concerns in both Crawford and Vernon counties. Have you heard of this map?
The map I'm familiar with, you can find on our website, WisconsinGeologicalSurvey.org, and it just kind of shows where karst is likely, where you're likely to find dissolved dolomite rock in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And certainly Vernon and Crawford counties fall within that area, though. The map you're talking about may be something different. You know, and you also bring up the point about land use on karst. What you apply on the surface and karst landscapes can very easily get into the groundwater. So you need to take a little bit of extra caution when considering different land uses. Are there sinkholes there? That's a great indicator that there's lots of karst and fluids can move downward very, very quickly and easily.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks very much for that call, Donald. Appreciate it. And look forward to seeing that map. Don and Bruce, we turn to you. Hi, Don.
Hi, good afternoon. I got on my farm, I got two places where when a horse or a dog runs across it, it echoes. How would I know? Is that going to fall in someday? Or is there a cavity underneath that? How would I determine that?
Okay.
Do you have sinkholes on your property?
No sinkholes. I got a lot of rock outcropping. It's pretty close to the surface or right to the surface.
Boy, you know, I've experienced that myself in some places just on the forest floor where you've got a lot of peat or a very soft soil where you can sort of bounce around and feel the echoing. So I don't know that it necessarily shows that there's a void down below there.
Yeah, that's one of the things. It's really tough to tell when and where a sinkhole is going to happen, when a sinkhole is going to occur. You know, the farmer can drive his combine on the field one day, and the next day a sinkhole forms. I don't know if that, you know, what it depends is where you live. Where do you live in Wisconsin?
In Rusk County, northern part.
Rusk County.
Okay. Yeah. Rusk County, by Ladysmith.
You don't have the right bedrock up there to probably have sinkholes. You kind of need to be where you have the dolomites in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And those kind of occur in a V starting in Pearson, St. Croix counties, just across from the Twin Cities, kind of coming down to Madison, and then going back up on the east side of the state.
Mm. Okay.
Could that be a cave under there?
Pardon that?
Could there be a cave under there?
You might have some sort of fissure cave where there's a big crack, but I would be more inclined to think it has something to do with the soil, as Joe was wondering.
You know, Wisconsin is such an interesting state and a wonderful state in a lot of ways, but geologically in particular, the fact that we've got, you know, the large glaciated area and then the moraines, the terminal moraines, and then the unglaciated part down in the southwest of the state. So we've really got a varied geology. But up in the northern, most of the caves in Wisconsin are found in the southern part that is unglaciated. You know, mm-hmm. when we talk to the school kids at the Cave of the Mounds, we'll talk about how those glaciers acted like the world's biggest bulldozer, a mile-thick sheet of ice scouring across the surface, pushing a mountain of sand and gravel in front of it. So any caves that were near the surface would likely either be flattened or filled in with sand and gravel. So in a lot of the parts of the state, you don't have the same kind of cave distribution as you would down in the southwest unglaciated part.
Do you think there are many lost or undiscovered caves left in Wisconsin?
Oh, I'm certain that there must be. You know, we were talking earlier that, you know, Wisconsin, it's tough to be a geologist in Wisconsin because we've got all this wonderful farm fields and forests and soil above the rock strata. You don't see the rock strata very easily in Wisconsin. And, you know, Cave of the Mounds is a great example, having been hidden for, you know, millennia and then discovered by accident. And we actually know of other caves on the property right there at Cave of the Mounds that I guess that doesn't count as undiscovered anymore. Yeah. Since we know that they're there. We haven't opened them up to the public or even opened up a big hole to get into them on the surface. But I think there's almost certainly lots of undiscovered caves.
I would agree, and especially in the southwest as well, too. You know, you can go around and find sinkholes all over there, and that doesn't necessarily mean there's a cave, but one of those is probably connected to a nice-sized cave that might be pretty fun to go into.
And see. Well, Bill in Gays Mills is up next. Bill, hello to you.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Your program's coming at a very good time for us. I am a member of the group that the caller before the last caller was talking about. And it just happens that this Saturday, in the town of Waseca, we're having a geological workshop on the karst geology of this area. If anybody's interested, it's at 9:30 at the community center in Gaze Mills, and the speaker is Kelvin Rodolfo. Does anybody know who he is?
I've heard the name in the literature, but I'm not familiar. I don't know him personally.
It should be a real good session on, if anybody's really interested in the geology, the karst geology of southwestern Wisconsin, it should be a good meeting.
Yeah, I would. That sounds great. I would recommend people educate themselves about the karst, because there's a lot of land use issues surrounding it, and the more people understand karst and its implications for groundwater and safety and other things, the better off we'll be.
That's right. Thanks very much.
The public, and we would invite anybody who would like to come to join us.
Gaze Mills, Saturday morning at...
No, it's at Waseca.
Waseca
at the community center.
All right. And
I got another quick question, if I could.
All right.
Sitting on my front porch, day before yesterday, after a real heavy humidity, I was looking across the Kickapoo River to the hills on the other side. And I could see a vapor forming out of the side of the hills. I mean, down about halfway, kind of below a cliff. And the vapor would disappear, and then it would come back, and then it would disappear, and then it would come back. And I watched it for about a half an hour. My mind's telling me that maybe that's the opening to a cave.
That's very likely. That's one of the ways that caves are sometimes discovered, is particularly in the winter, you've got... The ground temperature in Wisconsin is about 50 degrees. So, for example, in Cave of the Mounds, that air and the water vapor is 50 degrees every day of the year. And if you have a pressure change that causes some of that air to come outside, it's going to form a little vapor like that. So that is very likely that there's some... It could be a very small hole leading into a larger cave, or it might just be a little fissure.
I haven't been over to explore it, but I thought I might one day.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Good for you, Bill. Thank you very much for calling. And as long as we're talking about events, I know that Cave of the Mounds is celebrating its 70th year of discovery.
It is. We've got this weekend coming up. We've got a full schedule of events to kind of the celebrating the anniversary of that discovery, like the cave's birthday. So it was August 4th, 1939, that the cave was discovered. So this Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, we're holding special discovery tours, lantern tours, where the first part of the tour, we'll take people through with flashlights. We'll give them flashlights to take with them and kind of reimagine what that original discovery feeling must have been like to be down there, some of the first people inside the cave. And we've got some other events above ground. We've got a gemstone mine and fossil dig activity that we're going to let the kids do for free and find their very own gemstones to take home with them. There's a local falconer that'll be there Saturday and Sunday between 10 and 2 with flying demonstrations with his birds of prey. And other things going on. So it is. I'm glad you mentioned that. Every year we have a special event celebrating the birthday for the cave.
And it's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday?
Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So Tuesday is the actual anniversary, but we're doing the event all Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
All right, sounds great. And you, your website
is caveofthemounds.com. Real easy to remember.
Caveofthemounds.com. All right. Let's take another call here. Ron in Iowa County, we'll give you a chance next. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Larry. I got a quick question. I know we're running out of time here. On my family farm that we have a sinkhole on it. And over several generations, we filled it with rocks the size of Volkswagens to concrete half the size of dump trucks. The last time that we filled it in was in 1974, and now the hole is 30 feet deep again. How far down would that necessarily be? I've always wanted to just invest the time to dig it up, or would it take way too, you know what I mean? I just wanted to know what you could expect or how far down it would be.
It could go a long ways. It's really hard to say. Sometimes those cracks and fissures are vertical, and sometimes they're more horizontal. And it's just hard to know until you dig it out. I'll tell you what, I would put a shed over it and store the wine and beer down there or something.
Yeah. It sounds like this one's pretty persistent. If you've been putting huge boulders down it, I think you just kind of want to keep water from flowing into it and kind of keep people away from it.
Yeah, it's up on top of the crest of a hill, so maybe... Yeah. four generations from now, they'll find a large cave or something, but
yeah,
we just gave up filling it in because it's just pointless.
Right.
Thanks, Rod, for calling.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye, appreciate the call. Sort of relating to that, Bob grew up in Monroe, emailed in, and was told of a large cave that was closed in the 1940s in the Monroe area that was bigger than Cave of the Mounds. You guys know anything about
impossible.
That?
Impossible. No, boy, it certainly could be. I don't know anything about it personally, but you know that's in the right part of Wisconsin for there to be caves. And, and again, down near Monroe, there's some of those lead deposits. Certainly could be a larger cave. I would think, you know, it would show up in some of these, you know, Wisconsin Underground or geology, roadside geology of Wisconsin books, if it was open, but it may be on private property and people just don't want people in it. I'm not sure. I don't know about it.
I'm not familiar with it either. I haven't heard anything about it either. Well, Wyalusing State Park has its treasure cave. How'd that get its name?
Sure. I guess some bandits ran off with the U.S. Army payroll back in the day. And the story is they went down the river a little bit from Prairie du Chien, and they stole it from Prairie du Chien, went down the river a bit, and hid it up in this treasure cave in Wyalusing. It's a really kind of a fun cave for kids to go into. It's a great introduction for kids. You got to climb up a really steep, long ladder, maybe 50 feet or so, and you can go back, I don't know, Joe, maybe 20, 30 feet. It just kind of gets smaller and smaller. It's one that if you're an adult, it gets pretty small pretty quickly. But if you're a kid, it's a really fun place to go into.
Well, that's right. Tie a rope on their ankle so you can pull them back out again.
Well, what about Governor Dodge State Park has Larson Cave?
Larson Cave, and that's in sandstone, I believe.
Yeah, so yep.
Which is sort of a little bit different. You know, somebody had, again, formed by erosion, the wearing away of either flowing water or chemical erosion, but sandstone, even softer rock than the dolomite. So, and I know they occasionally have interpretive programs and, you know, let people up there inside there.
Yeah, I guess Larson Cave also kind of has a history too. It's named after, I think, the Larson family, which apparently was kind of a family of ne'er-do-wells, and they kind of hid out there because they were going to get sent to the asylum or some story. I think a lot of these stories are in Wisconsin Underground, which is kind of a nice reference book for folks who want to hear more about this topic.
Yeah, I really like the book. Doris Green put it together. It's a Trails book guide, Wisconsin Underground, a guide to caves, mines, and tunnels in and around the Badger State, and we've had her on the program to talk about it in the past. Well, I want to go back. They think about it. There's a replica of a cave at the UW-Madison Geology Museum, which is just near Camp Randall Stadium, a couple blocks east of Camp Randall, and it's got fossils and stalagmites and stalactites and.
Boy, talk about a gem. That is a gem of a museum for people that haven't checked that out. It's just a great great little museum. They've got excellent tours. And actually, it was Cave of the Mounds had donated some things and helped them build that cave quite a number of years ago, the little display inside there. Before my time at the Cave of the Mounds.
it really is nice. It's even you can even hear the sound of dripping water, which you hear in natural caves too. So.
Well, I tell you what, they're a lot of fun to visit, and this weekend would be a great time to visit Cave of the Mounds with all the activities starting on Saturday that you got going.
Well, that's right. We're hoping it's going to warm up a little bit so people can enjoy the natural air conditioning. You know, at night, it's kind of been the 50 degrees or about the temperature inside Cave of the Mounds. But yeah, we are open 7 days a week all year round, so anytime's a great time. But this weekend in particular is a great time to come in and enjoy Cave of the Mounds.
And to find out more, again, the website is?
It's caveofthemounds.com, and all of our schedule and tour information is on there. The tours depart frequently all the time.
And Dave Hart, your Natural History Survey, what's the website for that?
WisconsinGeologicalSurvey.org.
WisconsinGeologicalSurvey.org, and you have lots of great information on there.
We've got photos of all sorts of karst. We got photos of sinkholes, if you want that tour. But then you can also access all sorts of things geologic in Wisconsin, too. So.
Great show, guys. Thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
Dave Hart of the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey, an expert on caves. Joe Klimchick, also an expert on caves. He's general manager of Cave of the Mounds, a national natural landmark located near Blue Mounds, Wisconsin. Really a treat to have these guys on today. Well, we have a Garden Talk program tomorrow. We'll talk turf grass. Frank Rossi, formerly of the UW, now of Cornell University, the old lawn arranger, our guest tomorrow on the Ideas Network.